تعرف Okay, a very geschmacker piece of Gemara coming up. We're about halfway down the Omud. V'odom kiyetze bohen. V'odom kiyetze bohen. We did make a start to this at the end of last week, so let's just remind ourselves. The Gemara, the Mishnah had taught us, we're learning the sugya of pidyon of hektish. If you redeem a hektish, so we said that if it's the case of karka, karka needs 10 people, 10 dayonim, 10 evaluators to be present. And then the Mishnah added this extra line, and this is the line that we're going to look at. The Mishnah said, v'odom kiyotze bohem, which means, and similarly, a person. Similarly, a person. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, v'odom kiyotze bohem kekarkois. An odom, with regard to this particular halacha, has the same status as land, i.e., the boi nami teisha v'koin. In that you need 9 and a koin. That's 10 altogether. One of them must be a koin. So just like karka, so too odom kiyotze boi. That means kiyotze boi means similar. Now the obvious question is, and this is what we began addressing last week, is that it's not clear what exactly is the case. You can be makdish a table. You can be makdish karaka, and then you can do a pidyon if you regret it afterwards. But you cannot be makdish a human being. You can do eruchin, as we learned yesterday in the Kriya Satira. You can do demei, which is the value, which is measured by going to the slave markets, etc., etc. But you cannot actually be poida a human being because he himself cannot become hektish. In which case, we don't understand, and this is the Gemara's question, what does the Mishnah mean? What does the Mishnah mean when it says that just like when you do a pidyon of karaka, which is hekdesh, you need 10, 9 plus a koyin, so too when you do a pidyon of a human being, you also need 9 and a koyin, 10 altogether. What's that case? You can't be makdish a human being. So look at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Odom mi kodesh? Question mark. Can a person be kodesh? Can't dedicate a human being, even yourself. You can do eruchin and domim. And the Gemara says that's in fact what it means. Omar bavo, ba'oimer demei olai. By the way, the word olai is the word that we always use in conjunction with hekdesh. Olai, literally translated, means upon me. This is what I accept upon myself. So demei olai means, you're quite right, he was not makdish himself. You can't be makdish a human being. But you can commit yourself, you can accept upon yourself demei. My value, whatever my value is, that is what I hereby commit to give to the Beis HaMikdash, which means the person himself does not become kodesh. Rather, he has a financial obligation to donate to the Beis HaMikdash whatever his value is. So now we understand what the case is. When it says that Odom kiyotze bohen, it doesn't mean a case of pidyon hekdesh, because you can't redeem a human being because a human being never became kodesh in the first place. But rather, it's a human being, a person who committed himself demei olai. Says the Gemara, Shomin Oiso, you evaluate him, Ke'eved Hanimkar Bashuk. How is it that you can calculate the value, as it were, of a human being? The answer is, you take him to the slave market, we consider him as if he was a slave, the Eved Iskish Lekarkois. This is what we ended with last week. We have a Hekesh, Rashi quoted a Posuk, that there are various halachas in which we compare the Eved to Karka by virtue of the fact that we have a Hekesh. And this is a classic case. If we are taking this individual to the slave market to calculate his value, it means with regard to Hekesh, we are, as it were, considering him an Eved. The Eved has the status, as it were, of Karka. So therefore, now we understand what the Mishnah means. Just like Karka when you do a pidyon of karka, you need 10 to be present. So too, when somebody commits himself, not that he makes himself hektish, but he commits himself to donating his value to the Beis HaMikdash, we consider, as it were, as if he's an Eved. An Eved is compared to Karka. So just like Karka needs 10 to be evaluating, so too in the case of the human being, to work out his value in the slave market, you need 10 to be present. That's what we learned last week. So now we continue with a very geschmacka piece of Gemara. Says the Gemara, Boi Rav Ovin. So Rav Ovin now has a fascinating shayla. Says the Gemara, Boi Rav Ovin. Sa'ar ha'oimed ligzois. Let's translate literally. Hair, which is oimed, which stands, ligzois, to be cut off. Bekama. So what does that mean? Can you, we've just established that you cannot be makdish a guf, a human being. You can be makdish karka, you can be makdish metaltalin, which is movable objects, but you cannot be makdish a person. What about hair?
Person.
Now hair always has a fascinating status. Is the hair considered part of the guf of the human being? And the answer is essentially not. For example, if somebody needs to tovel in the mikveh, a woman became tameah, she needs to tovel in the mikveh, so we need to have her entire guf submerged in the water. What about the hair? Now, the lashon of the pasuk in the Torah is Verochatz es besoroi bamayim. She or he, whoever became Tommy, has to bathe their flesh in water. So the Gemara says flesh means their body, not including their hair. However, the Gemara makes a drasha. We learn, we have an extra posuk in the case of Tevila to teach us that the hair also needs to be submerged, and that therefore is halacha l'maaseh. And if a woman tovels in the mikveh and there's one single hair which is protruding out of the water, the tefila is invalid. But not because the hair is considered, as it were, part of the guf, because it's not the flesh, but rather we have a special drosha to tell us that the hair also needs to be submerged in the water, which would therefore suggest that the hair has a very interesting quasi-status. On the one hand, clearly we are not considering it absolutely part of the guf. If it was part of the guf, then I wouldn't need a posuk to tell me that her hair needs to be submerged in the mayim. On the other hand, we clearly are considering it connected to the body, if not part of the body. After all, she does have to tovel her guf and the hair. She does not have to tovel her guf and her clothes. So you see that the hair on the one hand is not considered, as it were, part and parcel of the guf, but it's considered, the lashon of the Gemara there in Bava Kamma is tofel el haguf. Tofel means, as it were, secondary to the guf. So it's not part of the guf. I don't need a posuk to tell me that a woman who goes to mikveh needs to submerge her ears in the water. Obviously, the ear is part of the guf. So why do I need a separate posuk telling me she has to submerge her hair? So clearly the hair is not an inherent part of the guf. It is secondary to the guf. Now, back to our subject. Can you be makdish hair? Apparently, you can. And if you're makdish hair, now we need to know what status are we giving the hair. Look at the Gemara. Bo'ir of Ovin. Sa'ar ha'oimed ligzois. If somebody, we're discussing somebody who is makdish hair, That was Oymed Ligzois. Oymed Ligzois means it stands to be
Okay.
cut. So the hair clearly is lengthy, and it's at the stage when it's about to be cut off, but has not yet been cut off. Now, everybody understands. Imagine you were to cut off the hair, and then you would be makdish it. Well, obviously, what status would we give that hair? Obviously, metaltalin. It's clearly a movable object. By the way, as we're about to see in Rashi, what would you do with this hair? Why would somebody want to donate their hair to the Beis HaMikdash? The hair could be a useful item to make some weaving or baskets or a sieve out of. Fine. So if somebody had already cut off their hair, and then you came along and you were makdish that hair, well, that hair is not connected to the body anymore. It clearly is considered metaltalin, which means, therefore, if you want to now redeem it, so what's going on over here? That's a classic case of a pidyon, of hekdesh, of metaltalin, which only requires three people. That's not up for discussion. So what's up for discussion? On the one hand, the hair is connected to the body. On the other hand, it's at the stage, it's about to be cut off. Do we consider it as if it has already been cut off? Because it's on the verge of being cut off. And therefore, it has the status of metaltalin. In order to do a pidyon, it needs three people. Or do we say that no? By virtue of the fact that it is still connected to the guf, well, we just said a moment ago that the guf, with regard to hektish purposes, has the status of an eved, which has the status of a karka. So if I want to be paid this hair, maybe three is not enough, and you require 10, just like karka. That's the Gemara's question. Now look back at the Gemara. Bo'i revovin, sa'ar ho'i made ligzois. Hair, which is about to be cut off, bekamo, question mark. How many evaluators do you need? And the Gemara now explains the question. The Gemara explains the question. Do we say kegozuz domi? Do we say that the hair is considered as if it has already been cut off and therefore ubishlesha? It therefore would require only three. Why? Because once the hair has been cut off, then clearly it has the status of metaltalin. And as we've already explained, metaltalin needs three. Or perhaps kemechuber dami. Or perhaps, no, we consider it as if it's still connected, because in actuality, it is still connected. And if it's connected, what is it connected to? It's connected to the guf, which we just explained in the previous piece of Gemara, has the status of karka, in which case, uba'asoro, in which case then you would need 10. That's the shaila of the Gemara. Let's have a look at Rashi. Sa'ar ho'oy made ligzoi, says Rashi vehikdishoi. You were makdish, somebody was makdish, this hair that is about, hasn't yet been, but is about to be cut off. Ubo lichdoisoi, and now he comes, he wants to redeem it. He has regret. He wants to backtrack. He wants to redeem it back from Hekdesh Beshavyov with its value. What is the value of hair? Lefere, hair is a useless item. No, says Rashi, it's a very useful item. She'oisin misa'ar odom. Because one can make from human hair, napo. Napo, I think, is a sieve. The kilkili v'chabak. I'm not sure what the kilkili and chabak is, but I'm assuming it's some other utensil, and therefore human hair does have value. So therefore, if it has value, and the person wants to be makdish it, says Rashi, do I say kegozuz domi? It is considered as if it is already cut off, in which case, v'havelu metaltalin. Well, then I'm going to consider it as a movable item, u'bishloisha, and three would suffice for its evaluation, or perhaps not. Or perhaps, as we said, no, if it's still connected to the guf, I'm going to consider it not as a movable object, but rather as part of the guf. The guf has the status of karka, as we explained before, in which case it would need 10. That's the shaila of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, let's bring a proof. Toshima. Says the Gemara, we can prove our point. Hamakdish es avdoi. If somebody is makdish his slave. Now, we just said, we've been discussing for the last 10 minutes, you cannot be makdish a human being. But there is one exception to that rule. One can be makdish their slave. If I'm not mistaken, this means their non-Jewish slave. A non-Jewish slave is considered to be absolute property of the Jewish owner. And therefore, one can be makdish the Eved. The Eved now becomes property of the Beis HaMikdash and therefore has the halachas of Kedusha. Now, we know the prime rule of anything that belongs to Hekdash is what? Is that it cannot be misappropriated, it cannot be used. Which Aveira is that? That's the Aveira of Me'ila. Me'ila. So if I dedicate a table to the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes now status of the Beis HaMikdash, property of the Beis HaMikdash. It has Kedusha. I cannot now use that table for my Sunday lunch. That's called Me'ila, misappropriating Hekdash. The only usage that this table can now be put to is if the Beis HaMikdash needs to use it. But I cannot, or anybody else cannot, use this Hekdash for my own mundane purposes. That's called Me'ila.
But you can pour there, right?
We played it. That's why we're always discussing pinyin. Yeah. If somebody says, listen, I'm desperate for a table and I want to get my table back, or lav dafka my table. I know that Hekdash own a table because somebody else dedicated it. I need that table. No problem. I come to Hekdash. We evaluate the table, as we've just said before, with three evaluators. It costs $100, 100 shekel. I give my 100 shekel. I've got to add a little bit more. That's not our subject now. And it therefore becomes devoid. It's stripped of Hekdash status. It's no longer considered property of Hekdash. It's now considered chulin, in which case I can do whatever I like. But there is one exception. What is that exception? Karka. If I dedicate karka to the Beis HaMikdash, I can do that. I can give my house to the Beis HaMikdash. I can dedicate my field to the Beis HaMikdash. I can give my back garden to the Beis HaMikdash. And it now becomes property of the Beis HaMikdash. That's true. There is no issa of me'ila when it comes to karka. It doesn't mean it doesn't belong to Hekdash. It absolutely does belong to Hekdash. But the issa of me'ila does not apply. Which means if somebody would now use that karka for his own mundane chulin purposes, he has not transgressed the issa of me'ila. The special halacha, as we're about to see in Rashi, it's a special halacha which applies to karka. In which case, if you put everything now back into the melting pot, if I am makdish my eved, we said before, you cannot be makdish a human being, but you can be makdish an eved. But remember, we said before that what? That an eved always has the status of karka. Well, one and one is two. If I can be makdish my eved who has the status of karka, and karka has no issa of me'ila, well, so too my eved has no issa of me'ila, which means if I now misappropriate, if I now use the eved for my own mundane, non-hektish purposes, I have not transgressed the issa of me'ila. Why not? Because the eved has the status of karka, and karka is not subject to the issa of me'ila. Yes, Reb Larry.
Since Meiser was originally slated for money to go to the Levium, is that considered hektish?
Is what, sorry?
Meiser was originally slated, you have to give Meiser to the Levium.
That's not hektish. Even a non-Levy is allowed to eat Meiser. Even a non-Levy is allowed to eat Meiser. Now, so the Gemara says, we have this principle, look at the Brisa now. Toshema, hamakdish es avdoi. If somebody would be makdish his slave, and we just said you can do that, ein moyalin boy, there is no me'ila in the eved. Again, let's not make a mistake. It doesn't mean that the Eved is not the property of Hector. She absolutely is. But there's no Issa of Me'ila with regard to the Eved. However, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Boyalin Besa'aroi. There is the Issa of Me'ila with regard to his hair. The Eved himself, the actual physical goof, is not subject to Me'ila. But his hair, in the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, is subject to the Issa of Me'ila.
Good.
Now, do we all agree that the first opinion, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the first opinion, the Tanakama, he did not differentiate between the hair and the rest of the goof? He simply generalized and says, the Eved, there's no Issa Me'ila, period. So we clearly have a machloikas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Does the Issa of Me'ila pertain to the hair of an Eved? Adds the Gemara one more line. The Kaim alone, and we hold the Besa'aroi ha'oimed ligzois pligi. Do you know which hair they're discussing? We maintain that this discussion, this machloikas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, is talking about hair, which is about to be cut off. Pligi, that's the machloikas. Ah, so how does this help us? Isn't this exactly the nakuda that we are looking at? Again, there is no me'ila of karka, and an eved has the status of karka, and therefore everybody agrees that there's no me'ila with an eved. So why is there a machloikas with regard to, is there me'ila in the hair of an eved? And we've just explained, we're talking about hair which is about to be cut off. What must be the machloikas then? The machloikas is the shaila that we mentioned before. How do we view what's the status of hair that's about to be cut off? If you consider that it is as if it has already been cut off, then what?
Metaltalin.
Well, then it has the status of metaltalin, and therefore there's me'ila. Why is there me'ila? Because it's no longer part of the eved, it's not karka. Whereas if you say no, as long as it is not being cut off, it's still part of the Eved, well, then it has the status of Karka. And if it has the status of Karka, well, there's no Me'ila. So if the Tanakama generalized, what did the Tanakama say? There is no Me'ila in an Eved, period, including the hair. So clearly, how does he view the hair? He views the hair as part and parcel of the Eved. And if there's no Me'ila of the Eved, because the Eved is like Karka, so too the hair, which is part of the Eved, also has Karka status, and there's no Me'ila. Whereas Rav Shimon ben Gamliel differentiated. And what did Rav Shimon ben Gamliel say? There is the Issa of Me'ila with regard to the hair. How does he therefore consider the hair? As if it's cut off, it's no longer Karka. So he clearly is considering it metaltalin. In which case, adds the Gemara, two words, Shma Mino. Yes. So I hear from this, we can now be poishate our original Shaila. We can now resolve our original question. What was our original question? That if somebody was makdish the hair, which is about to be cut off, and you want to now redeem that from Hektish, how many people do you need for the evaluation? Do you need 3 or 10? And the Gemara explained what was the question. Do we consider that because it's going to be cut off, not just going to in the future, but it's about to now be cut off, therefore it's considered as if it's already been cut off, in which case it's metaltalin, and therefore how many evaluators would I need? Just 3.
Three.
Or perhaps not. Yes, it's about to be cut off, but it hasn't yet been cut off. It's still part of the human being, whereas the status of an Eved, which is Karka, and it would need 10. That was the Shaila. It turns out, therefore, that that very Shaila is in fact the exact machloikas between the Tanakama and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Which means, therefore, that we have one central question with two halachic ramifications. What's the central question over here? Hair of a human being, which is about to be cut off, do we consider that as metaltalin or as karka? That's the central question. There are two ramifications. One ramification of that question is, if you want to do pidyon, do I need 3 or 10? That depends on if I view it as metaltalin or karka. And the second halachic ramification is, does the issa of me'ila apply to the hair? So if I would now use the hair for my own mundane purposes, have I transgressed the issa of me'ila? That once again depends on, how am I viewing the hair? Am I viewing the hair as metaltalin or as karka? Look at Rashi. Says Rashi, ein moyalin boy. There is no issa of me'ila with regard to the eved. Says Rashi, why not? The eved hare hu kakarka. Because an eved is considered like karka, ve'ein me'ila b'karka. The issa of me'ila does not apply to karka or with mesechta's me'ila. If you look in Masechta's Me'ila, we learn this from a pasuk. Gomar, we learn out, quote unquote, chait, chait mitruma. We learn from truma, this is not our discussion, but Perek HaNenes, so we have a special drosha to teach us that there is no issa of Me'ila with regard to karka. An eved has the status of karka, in which case there's no Me'ila by a eved. Says Rashi, quoting Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but moyalin besaroi. But there is an issa of me'ila with his hair. Why? The saroi lav kagufoi. Because his hair is not like his goof. Because we're considering as if it's already been cut off. The havalei, and it is like kashar metaltalin. It's like a regular movable object. It's about to be cut off. What does that mean, it's about to be cut off? Shekvar shileich pera. Shileich pera is an expression for the hair is very long. V'ro'u lehistaper. And it needs, therefore, to be cut off. Shma mino, says the final Rashi. Lupta de tanoi hu. So it turns out that our original question is a machlokes tanaim. Letan nekama, according to the first opinion, who said what? The Omar, he said, les behu me'ila. The first opinion says there is no me'ila. Remember, the first opinion generalized, and he says there is no me'ila in the Eved, period. Goof, hair, it's all the same thing. So he clearly is considering the hair as what? As part of the Eved, which means it's not metaltalin, it's a karka. In which case, says Rashi, letana kama da omar les behu me'ila. According to the first opinion, who says there is no me'ila, sovar k'mechubar dami. He holds that this hair is considered still connected. And if it's connected, it has the status of karka, in which case there's no me'ila. If that's the case, ule inyan padia, in which case, with regard also to redemption, nami boi asara. So I will require 10. Why will I require 10? Because if you consider it kumuchuba, that's like karka. However, ule Reb Shimon, but according to Reb Shimon, who said what? That the issa of me'ila does pertain to the hair. So how is he viewing the hair? He's not viewing the hair as still being connected to the goof. He's considering it as metaltalin. And if it has the status of metaltalin, therefore, there is an issa of me'ila, but in turn, you do not need 10 for its evaluation. 3 will suffice. Reb Larry.
Does the Tanakama say that if you have a field that's karka and there's fruit growing on the trees, that if you cut off the fruit, there's no me'ila because...
The tree is the next line of the Gemara. Reb Larry, you have to prepare in advance. That's the next line of the Gemara. So I'll call Ponim V'Oifen. It turns out that our original question is, in fact, a machloikas tanoim. What was the original question? The original question was, hair that is about to be cut off, do I consider that as cut off metaltalin? Three evaluators? Or no, it's still connected. It has a status of karka. 10 evaluators. Says the Gemara, well, we can copy and paste because we have another machlokes, which lechayra is based absolutely on this question. Not with regard to how many evaluators, but it's the same shayla, but rather with regard to the issa of me'ila. If you consider it cut off, it's metaltalin. Certainly the issa of me'ila applies. If you consider it still connected, then it's karka. So now Larry is asking a fantastic question. How far do we take this? Can I compare hair, which is about to be cut off from a goof, to fruit about to be cut off from a tree? So if somebody dedicates a tree to the Beis HaMikdash, which you can do, but a tree has got the status of karka. So if you've got fruit on the tree which are very ripe and are about to fall off or about to be harvested, is there an issa of me'ila on the fruit? Do we say, well, that's the same question. It's about to be cut off. It hasn't yet been cut off. So we'll see. That's exactly how the Gemara is going to begin tomorrow. Not with regard to me'ila, but with regard to a completely different halacha. The halacha of Moida B'miktas and Karka. Mitz Hashem, we'll see all of that tomorrow, all being well.
Okay.
Okay. Be well, everybody. Have a wonderful day.
Have a good day.